I've been preaching a series, Come Hell or High Water, and you can't escape the fact that today is the 4th of July. Thank God for the freedom God has given you and me in this country, amen? Thank God for it. How does that relate to come hell or high water? Well, you'll see. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, the scripture's up on the screen, even for our first time attenders, those of you watching online. I think there's something powerful that when you speak the promises out loud. The devil can't read my mind, so I must allow him to read my lips and hear my voice. So would you join me and let's declare the word of the Lord out loud for ourselves. And where it says us, put me. Where it says you, put me. Ready? Here we go. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given me great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable me to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desire. You look at our country and countries of the world, you see corruption. You just don't see it in places where you thought you'd never see it. You can see it in places where you're going, Lord, that's just a ma and pa operation. Why that corruption's even in that business? You can see it. You can see the deterioration, the rotting away. But God says, in the midst of that, you have his divine nature in you. I'm a child of the Most High God. Do you know I carry the DNA of the Holy Spirit in me? I'm not O positive. I'm Holy Ghost positive. Amen. There's a promise. Those promises are in you to believe them. I still believe there's a promise for our nation. That's a weak amen. There's a promise for this nation, and it's not about national patriotism as much as it's about you, because so goes the people or the person, so goes the nation. I want to declare this promise over our nation and over you. Psalm 33:12. This is a promise from the Word of God, come hell or high water. This is God's promise to a people who will follow him. Would you declare it out loud with me? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his own inheritance. You remember what Jesus said? You didn't pick me. You didn't pick me. I chose you. I chose you that you might bear fruit and your fruit might remain. Wherever you work, wherever you live, whatever university or high school campus you're on, wherever you go, God's telling you this. You have my divine nature, and if your family, your marriage, your neighborhood, your place of work, your campus ever needed to see my divine nature, it is right now. Quit waiting for it to come out of pastor. Quit waiting for us to have another great conference. His divine nature lives, breathes, moves in you wherever you go. And you can change a nation. Quit griping about our country and just start taking care of you and watch other people be attracted to the nature of Jesus inside of you. Can somebody give God praise one more time before we sit down? Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Today we celebrate our nation's America's 425th birthday. I know you think you're old, but you go to the other nations of the world, we're just still babies. And there's a lot to be learned from those other places. And I celebrate with everybody else. All of you that are out with your families watching online, God bless you for watching online, because now I know you really love Jesus even while you're out there at the campsite watching church today, because it's the word of the Lord. And I celebrate with every person the freedoms and the liberties we do have. But I will not worship the United States of America. Don't worship a flag. Don't worship a symbol. Don't worship a politician. Stop worshiping your political party. And thank God for the freedoms we do have in this country that He gave to us. But don't worship it. There's only one to be worshiped, my friends. And you can always discover when you're worshiping something, it's when God chooses to remove it. Then you find out just how much you actually worshiped it. No, you don't know. You and I don't know how much we've worshiped something until it's removed from you. Then you discover if you were worshiping it or you were worshiping the one who gave it to you. Because I'm grateful for this country. I am extremely grateful. I don't care what you think, I'm grateful. And I'm speaking as an immigrant to this nation. Your pastor is an immigrant to this country. And any immigrant in this room knows, thank you, God, that you've afforded us the ability to be in this country. As flawed as it can be, thank you for it. I look at pictures to remind me. You know, pictures give you memory. And I remember the day my dad was so proud that he could help his kids to become U.S. citizens. We stood on the front porch of the Finney County Courthouse. Where's that picture? Y'all got that up there? There it is. That was the day we became citizens. I was 9 months old when we came to this country. And my parents floated past Ellis Island. My dad was so proud on that day. It took 6 years for him to become citizens. He worked hard. We didn't have a lot of money. We were janitors. I remember people in business ripping my dad off in business, but my dad still loved this country, still persevered. I remember times when my mom so dark-skinned, my dad light-skinned, and it wasn't real popular in a place where the deer and the antelope play. But we're still grateful that God brought us to this country. That's me over there, second from the right, by my brother Emmanuel. Don't look too hard. We couldn't afford longer pants. But now they're back in, so your style. I'm glad that's kind of on the bad, not the bad screens, but they're not on those LED screens so you can't see real well, because I'm kind of embarrassed of that one because my fly was unzipped and give me a break. I was only 6 years old. It was a real joy, my mom and dad. My dad was escaping the Nazi Holocaust. My dad watched his mother blown up in front of his very eyes on the Rhine River. Had the honor of taking my children to the site where his entire family was killed. My dad was the only one not killed in that village because of he happened to be on the banks, but the entire village was wiped out. My dad went through the Nazi Holocaust. Only through friends did I discover the terror, the horror my dad had to flee the Nazis, hiding under bridges, watching some of the worst atrocities that the Nazis did to human beings. And so much of the pain of my dad was out of that. He couldn't forgive God. All he found of my grandmother was a lock of hair attached to a piece of skull where she was blown up by the Allies during Operation Market Garden, where they mistakenly bombed a village of innocent people. But I thank God my dad wanted to come to America and just forget some of that pain. So I'm grateful to the people who bled and died and gave my family the ability to have an opportunity. I'm grateful to it. The reason I won't worship human beings and I won't worship this country, I'm grateful for it, but I won't worship it, is because America is not always right. And you know why I know America is not always right? Because you are personally not always right.
All right, break it down.
We want to make it about nations, but it's about you. You are not always right. And I don't believe that America has a special relationship with God because we're Americans. I think He's just been unbelievably sovereign and grateful to this country in ways we cannot imagine. I know America's not perfect. You know why? Because I know you and you're not perfect. If you were perfect, then I think America would be perfect, but you're not, and neither am I. So I know America's not perfect. Its history includes a legacy of slavery and racial injustice. It's there. There's no doubt in my mind. You know why I know it's there? Because you're a sinner saved by grace, so I know your stuff is there too. Your stuff is there too. Oh, nobody's told their whole testimony. It has in its legacy the mistreatment of native peoples. Our forefathers were not even perfect. Some of our forefathers were not even Christians, believing Christians. Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin were deists, for crying out loud. But there's no doubt in my mind that many of those forefathers came from a culture deeply influenced by Christianity, and as flawed as many of them may have been, the seeds of the gospel of what was right were embedded in there, and I still believe that the seeds of what is right in the gospel will flourish and grow and break forth to an outpouring of the Spirit that will give our hearts back to God in a powerful way. As much as we'd like to forget our failures as a country, you can't forget them. You know why you can't forget them? I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus will never bring my sin ever to his memory ever again. Thank you, Jesus. But he didn't wipe out my memory. Nor did he wipe out yours. And I think it's dangerous for a nation to forget its failures. Not only its successes, I think that's dangerous when you get to cancel culture where you want to wipe away the failures of our nation. It's dangerous. You need to remember your failures, your shortcomings. You need to remember the words of Karl Marx, the father of communism. You know what he said? You know what Karl Marx said? He said, if I can steal their history, I can steal their country. Not just their successes, but to remove even the things that reminds them of their failure. Because whenever there's something that reminds you of the past, it should make you not arrogant, not proud, or even to worship that thing. You don't worship flags. You don't worship monuments. But what it should do is to bring you to your knees with a sense of humility that God, I never. Do you know why I remember my sin? God doesn't do, but you know why you remember your sin, ma'am? Sir, do you remember why you remember that one night? You want to remember why you remember it? It's because God doesn't ever want you to go back there again. Don't you ever go back to that again. And you remember the entrapment, you remember the enslavement that happened. Don't ever go back to that again. And when somebody turns it into something, worship, something is flawed because pride has come into you. It should bring you to a place of remembering God met me there and God changed me there. And I never, ever want to repeat that ever, ever again. That is my concern, friends, when we want to forget even our failures. I'm even concerned that there's danger in forgetting our freedoms. Our liberties that God has given us in this country. We forget them. Do you know why? Because I know Satan would love for me to forget my freedom that Jesus Christ purchased for me and for you. He'd like for you to minimize the benefits of what happened at the cross for you. He wants you to minimize that you can be free from your addiction, not just saved, but you can be freed from your addiction. He wants to minimize that you can be prospered and blessed again because of Jesus Christ. He wants you to minimize and forget God will do it for somebody else, but he won't do it for you. He wants you to forget that he's still the God, that by his stripes you have been healed in your body. He wants you to forget that all the pain of your past can be totally wiped away. He wants you to minimize and forget. So Satan always wants you to forget. That's the reason why in Genesis 28, Jacob has this dream. He's running, but he has this dream, and he sees angels ascending and descending, and God makes a promise to God's people. And as a result, he erects a monument not to live in arrogance, but to remind every person in history that passes, recall that God met you there. Remember the humility and the brokenness you have at that place. It's dangerous to forget what God gave you success and where it came from, and to also to forget your sins and your failures so you never go that way again, but you always walk in humility and in repentance before God. That a generation will remember, don't you ever do that again. You can say amen or oh me. But there's a reason why. Don't worship this nation. Celebrate what God's done, but don't worship it. And it's dangerous to forget how much God loves this nation, because nations of the world. Because when you forget how much God loves nations, what you're saying is, I forget how much God loves people and loves me. Can I tell you, God loves America? You know why? Because he loves every soul that is in it. You know he loves the nations of the world? He loves the Muslim. He loves the Hindu. Do you know that? He loves them because he loves the nations of the world, because he loves the people he created in his image. And I'm telling you, God loves America because he loves you. To say God doesn't love America means God doesn't love you, because it's about people. It's not about territory or land. It's about people. How many thank God he loves you this morning? He loves you. Do you know I believe that God loves Israel? Do you know the reason why I love Israel and why I pray for Israel and I bless Israel? Because God loves his people, Israel. It's amazing how all the Middle East is hinged on a place no bigger than, on a map, bigger than your little fingernail. And God loves that little place. Why? Because God wants to show his redemptive work through humanity. And out of all the failure, out of the cesspool of their sin, it seems like sometimes a sewer line from hell has been opened up on the nations of the world in our country. A sewer line from hell has been opened. And God says, the reason I love it is because I want to see my redemptive work in every human being that will call me Lord and Savior. How many of you believe, friends, God loves you and he loves the nations of the world? But there's something I want to point to. I want you to go to Psalm 80 today with me in just a moment. But there are patterns of how God deals with nations, how he even deals with America. And you can see how he dealt with a special group of people who he chose, Israel, how God's dealt with them. And it is very important that you pay attention to how God deals in Scripture with Israel, because there are some indicators of how he has dealt with you and me, and he deals with the nations of the world, and he deals with America. So let me show you something. Go to Psalm 80 with me. I want you to go there because it's very important. But I want you to see something that I know about God, is that God planted Israel. You know that. He divinely planted Israel. And Psalm 80, it is written during the time of national calamity for Israel. This is not a celebration time for them. This is the total depths of despair, held captive by other nations. Other nations have now taken them from their land. Other nations occupy their land. But yet God, in the middle of all that, says, I have planted Israel. You know what I believe? I believe just as God planted Israel, I believe that God planted America. I do, even with all its flaws. But I want you to go, written in national calamity, look what they say in Psalm 80 in verse 7. It says, restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved, because they're lost. They're lost. You transplanted a vine from Egypt, remembering their slavery for 400 years. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out nations and you planted it. I really honestly believe that just as God planted Israel, he planted America. No other nation had a Christian beginning like the United States of America. A Christian beginning. When the pilgrims first came in 1620 to seek religious freedom, they came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as flawed as even they were, the seed of what was right was there. Even in their own flaws, the seed was there. You look in the Mayflower Compact. In the beginning of the Mayflower Compact, it says, in the name of God, amen, so be it. For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, the seeds are there. Even in a flawed country, the seeds are there of what God truly intended, his redemptive work. In our national hymn, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, some of us have never even read the lyrics of it, because in it you can find the seeds of what God really intends. It says in one of the lines, our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Let me make an announcement to you. There may have been people with other agendas. There may be people that are flawed, but in it you can find the seeds of hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God is king. The president of the United States is not king. The Supreme Court is not king. Your political party that you have an adherence to is not king. Your politician you love is not king. And make it very clear, sometimes we start worshiping those very things, but they are not king. I'm here to announce from the very beginning, God is the king and Jesus is the King of Kings, friends. And you never need to forget that. It's planted by God. Remember who truly planted it. Because when you start realizing that God is king, you'll start living like a pilgrim. That you know that this earth is not my final resting place. This is not where God intended for Sam Reifkugel to be. This is not Sam Reifkugel's eternal home, and it's not your eternal home. But I have a choice to decide where my eternal home will be. And I thank God, friends, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through this place. I have a place whose builder and maker is God, and Jesus is the light of that place. He is the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords, because you are an eternal being. But here's what I declare, Psalm 33:12. Will you say it with me out loud again? Blessed is the nations whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. Remember, God is the one that planted you for such a time as this. Follow Him and choose to follow Him and make Him your Lord. I'll tell you another thing about Israel. Israel has been protected by God. And I also got to tell you, God's protected the United States of America in ways we don't even know. Look at verse 80 and verse 9. Remember, it's a national calamity. Look what it says. It says, you cleared the ground for it, speaking of Israel, and it took root and filled the land. That little obscure group of people, God cleared a place for them. God drove out enemies for Israel, established and protected them. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a sovereign redemptive reason why God established America and has protected America from a world just totally ravaged by war. You compare this nation to so many countries of the world where their soil has been invaded and occupied. Think about it for a moment, ravaged by war. We've not seen it. My dad saw those moments, didn't even want to talk about those moments because they were so horrific for him as a teenage boy. He lived in that kind of place. United States of America, I believe God has had mercy on us. We have never seen a city wiped out by missiles or air raids. We have not been occupied by other nations. And I'm gonna tell you the only reason why is because God has sovereignly given us mercy and grace, and don't you ever forget it. And you got to stop and remember on 4th of July and the times we have to thank God for the people that have stood in the way of harm, never came back to this soil, buried on foreign soils because they wanted us to have the freedom to simply worship and be free. And I want to say it again to every man and woman in this room that has given your life and willing to give your life for our freedoms. For those of you who your family members never ever came back and returned, I want to say thank you for those who paid the price that we can have freedoms in this nation. Thank you. Those at home, thank you. Thank you. As many of our flaws and our sins, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But I will tell you this, friends, as great as a military power that America is, its technology to defend, can I tell you, you are deluded in thinking that God is not the one that has sovereignly held us together. Because like Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some trust in their horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord God Almighty. He is the only thing that has kept us. So don't ever forget it. Psalm 33:12, the promise of God. Let's say it again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. There's no doubt in my mind that God has prospered this country. No doubt. I know that there are people that just think they're the creative geniuses and they will never ever thank God for the money they have, the wealth or the health they have. They'll never thank him. But I'm telling you, God is the one that's prospered this country. Look what Psalm 80 and verse 10. While they're in national calamity, they start remembering this. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. What are they saying here? They are now recalling that the reason Israel was blessed was when we obeyed God and we sought God, God prospered Israel. But as they begin to turn away from God, their prosperity had begun to be lost. How many of you know the prosperity in America is simply the undeserved blessing of God on the people? It's undeserved. I don't understand it, but I'm telling you, God has blessed this country. My father brought his family to this country to escape the memory of the horror of the Holocaust, but he wanted a better life that he thought opportunities would come to he and his children. I'm grateful for it. There's no doubt we've been prospered and blessed. Oh, we're far from seeing every person blessed in this nation, but even though we have poverty in this country, I will tell you, if I've traveled the world, that the poor in America are rich compared to most people in the world. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it. And we're blessed. You may have come in a rust bucket that people want to make, because it's blowing so much smoke, they want to use it to kill mosquitoes up north in Michigan. But you're still blessed. Most of the world doesn't even own a car, and yet you were able to come in one. You were able to take a nice, clean bus on the way over here. I'm telling you, we are blessed in this country. Only in America. It just surprises me. We think sometimes we have it so bad. But only in America do we spend $250,000 on a home to leave it in the middle of the heat of the summer to go into the woods to live in a hot tub and be eaten by mosquitoes for 2 weeks. And some of you are there right now. Do you know what other people in other countries are doing? They're suffering from malaria. They can't get clean water. And they're going, you left that house that's air conditioned to go spend 2 weeks? Only in America. So don't say that we are not blessed. We are blessed. My problem is that we don't remember enough. When you forget that it's God and you forget it is ultimately him that planted and prospered you and prospered a nation, that gave you the job, you can go into any restaurant after this service, any restaurant, and get any type of food you want when some people can't even get a meal. Don't hate on the blessing that God has given you, even if you ignore it and don't think it is from him. But look what he said in Deuteronomy 8:18. He says, but remember the Lord, Israel. This is where their problem. They were prospered. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he. It is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, whatever level that is, and so confirm his covenant. He's saying, I love you. I want to bless you. As little or as much as you have, he says, don't forget that it is God who gives you the ability. How many know it only comes from one place? We are blessed, not because of our own genius, not because of our own health or our abilities to produce wealth, because it's God that gave it to us. The psalm, remember the promise again? Come on, Psalm 33:12. Let's declare it out loud again, church. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. You didn't pick him, he picked you. Thank him for the prosperity. But here's what God's doing. We may be blessed. We may have been planted and prospered, but I'm going to tell you, there's a God that's pruning our country. And there's one thing that's painful is when you're pruned by God, because God pruned Israel as a people, and he is pruning America as a people. And there is an internal danger when you start being pruned. Look at verse 12 of Psalm 80. Would you look at me? He says, why have you broken down its walls? Now they're talking. God, you gave us all this, but God, why did you break down our walls? So that all who pass by pick its grapes. What are they saying? You planted us and you prospered us, But now we're being pruned. What's going on, God? What is going on? What's going on? I'm going to tell you, America is having her fruit picked. Fruit picked. And some are not even returning to God. They want to try to defend a system when in fact you need to return to a Savior. Because it's being plucked. You don't believe me? You may not feel it right now, but it's being plucked. America's having her fruit plucked. Our national debt right now, folks, just go to the debt clock. That'll freak you out. That'll freak you out. We are $28 trillion in debt. Do you know how much debt that is for my 2-year-old grandson? Right now, his debt is $85,000. That's $85,000 per citizen. Now, for all of you that pay taxes, that's $226,000 of debt that we have. Our fruit is being plucked. The most important fruit are lives of people. We've watched it as fruit's been plucked. You've heard me talk about the sins and the legacy of sin in this country, but it's being plucked. 60 million babies have been plucked from their mother's womb since 1973 when this nation legalized abortion. You can't tell me that God sovereignly somehow has allowed his mercy to still hit this nation.
Amen.
They pluck it, and some without even a tear coming from their eye, to think about the women who've had to deal with the memory of that in their mind. But thank God for his redemptive work in the heart of men and women who've gone through the trauma of that. And yet now know, my friends, that God is a God that can forgive you. And God is the God that can restore your mind and your memories. And I want to tell every mama that had an abortion, you're going to get to see that little boy, that little girl again. Because the redemptive work of God is when you stand before the Lord, you're going to hold that child and you're going to love that child and you're going to see God protected you and God bless you. But there's a world out there that could care less about the mental torment you have to go through. Thank God for the church and its redemptive heart to tell men and women you can be restored. The disintegration of the marriage is being plucked from America right now. Totally torn apart. Its meaning and everything that God intended. You want to think it's not being plucked? Even the identity of what God created you, male and female, is being plucked from the very soul of a person. It's being plucked from them. It's being plucked. 9/11 ought to show us that it can be plucked just like that. A pandemic that was supposed to last just 2 weeks, stay in your house, lingering now for a year, maybe even 2 years, plucked. What's happening? What's happening to the nations of the world? What's happening is the wall is coming down. It's coming down. Because God will only allow so long where we will carry on in arrogance and say, God, we could care less. Look what Psalm 13 says about it. It says, boars from the forest ravage it. Boars. There's something. Why would they use the imagery of boars? Boars ravage it, and insects from the field feed on it. Because you just can't see the insect, but you notice things are missing from the plant. The boars, they go down into the root. And we're watching it before our very eyes. I used to say our society was going to the dogs, but I no longer say that in respect to the dog we have. Because I like our dog. It's going to the hogs. Now, why boars? Because whenever you see boars, why is it that you go to these lands where they want to get rid of the wild boars? Why is it? Because they tear up crops. Crops feed people. And boars are not just enjoying the fruit that they see. But borers go down and they go burrow into the root until the root is destroyed so that nothing is ever produced again. And they're saying, God, it's not just eating the fruit, it is going down to the root to destroy the vine of Israel. But the vine of Israel is not about national patriotism. It's not just the existence of a nation. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. What is really Satan wanting to go after? He wants to go to that very root that comes up, that shoots up, springs up, and that root is Jesus Christ himself, to take away the root of Jesus Christ, his hope, his redemptive power for the lives of humanity. That's really what he wants to take. That's the internal thing that he really wants to destroy. Satan, don't kid yourself. It's about the hope of Jesus Christ, the salvation of mankind through Jesus, that the boar wants to eat out the root, Jesus Christ. Let's take it. It's not about national patriotism. It's about the hope of Jesus Christ. And if he does that, then there is not just an internal danger, there is an eternal danger. There's an eternal danger that's happening here. Look at verse 16 of Psalm 80, verse 16. He says, the vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. At your rebuke, people perish. Now listen, friends. How many believe that God is our only hope? God is not just your only hope. God is your biggest threat. God's not just the hope of America. God is the biggest threat to this country. Because the waves of his judgment are pounding against the dam of his mercy that we're experiencing right now. It is pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding. It has been the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God for people, for nations of the world, for this nation, because judgment is pounding against the dam of his mercy that's been holding everything back. But there's coming a day, friends, there's coming a day when his judgment, the Bible says, will come like an axe and lay it to the root of all these things. And like fire, it will happen. The judgment will happen. But I will tell you, friends, thank God we are living in the day of his mercy. But the judgment is coming, friends. I'm telling you, the judgment can't. God, listen, God cares for America, and he cares for the souls in America. And he can get the nation's attention again very quickly. All it takes, my friends, is one stock market crash, and he will have you crumbled to your knees, businessman. I can tell you, all it takes is one thing to happen in your physical body, and he will crumble you to your knees. All it takes is one pandemic, and he can crumble you to your knees. That's all it takes for God to get us attention. But don't wait for God to get your attention. I say, God, humble our hearts right now. Let us see that you're the one that planted our lives. You're the one that prospered our lives. You're the one that took control of our lives. And we surrender our control back to you. Why? Because Psalm 33 says, blessed, say it with me, church, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. God, we come to you. So what's our hope, friend? Our only hope is one thing. Pursue God. Just pursue God. Pursue God. I'm discovering more and more what I'm really worshiping. Because when it's threatened to be taken from you, then you really discover what you worship. Until all that remains is the only thing that cannot be shaken, and that is him. I love what they finally say in Psalm 80, verse 14. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. Now look what they say. The root your right hand has planted, the sun you has raised up for yourself. What they ultimately knew is that the son that he has planted was one person, and guess who it was? The only hope for Israel, the only hope for America, and the only hope, it's not about just a nation, it's about you. Your only hope is Jesus Christ himself. Because friends, I'm telling you, he is coming back. And when he comes back, he won't be riding a donkey and he won't be riding an elephant. He won't be riding on the back of Republicans or independents or Democrats. He's only coming back on a white horse And on his vesture and on his thigh is a name that is written above every name. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. I don't want to wait till judgment to finally start paying attention to him. Pursue God. You want to know the hope for America, the hope for you, the hope for me? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, pursue me, seek my face. And then when God is dealing with you, turn from your wicked ways. Just turn from it. Just turn from it. Say, God, I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to stop this. He says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their land. I will heal their land. How many been shouting at the TV lately? I mean, say, I'm sick of Facebook. You've been yelling at Fox News and CNN, every commentator. Or yelling at them. You say, nothing's going to change. Oh, yes, it is. It is changing. Do you know why? Because I'm changing. You know why the world's going to change? Because I'm changing the world that Sam Reifkogel lives in and what I influence. And if I'll stop worrying about you and start seeking God, Sam Reifkogel, I'm always, his divine nature is going to shine through me. It's going to go through me. And all the stuff that isn't God is going to get out of the way, and all the stuff that is God is going to continue to grow. And I pray what happens inside of you is you say, God, let me change me. Let me humble myself. Let me seek your face. And why don't I quit dealing with everybody else and say, God, would you deal with me? Would you deal with my attitude? Would you deal with my sinful nature, God? And Lord, forgive me. And Lord, you're going to heal me. And your divine nature is going to start healing people that are around me. I may not be able to change the whole world, but I know I can change mine. And I know it's going to change because he's changing me. How many say, Holy Spirit, come on, do a work inside of me today. Do a work in me. Do a work in me. Do a work in me.